Now you have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, if you read both of those chapters, and that'd be a good thing for you to do. Now don't do it while I'm preaching tonight, okay? You do it when you get home, okay? But if you read all of chapter 8 and all of chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about an offering. And by the way, the offering was not for the church at Corinth. It was to be given through the church at Corinth, but it was to go to others. And so really, he's writing to them about a mission offering. And for just a few minutes tonight, let's think about the joy of giving to missions. The joy of giving to missions. Can you imagine the rewards of the people that supported Virginia and me when we went to Japan? I mean, you know, they took a big chance on us, amen? And it's amazing what God has done. But it's such a joy. And Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's encouraging them to give to missions. And we talked about this morning, if we're going to evangelize the world, somebody has to go. And all of us ought to go somewhere. If we're going to evangelize the world, somebody has to pray. But if we're going to evangelize the world, somebody has to give. There are probably 200 independent Baptist missionaries that are on deputation now trying to raise their funds so they can go to the mission field. All that's keeping them from going to the mission field is churches beginning to support them. So let's think together for a few minutes tonight. And it's dangerous when a preacher says a few minutes, okay? Kind of like a politician saying, let me help you, okay? But let me help you, okay? look at verse 8. We read that a few minutes ago. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's writing to them about a mission offering. And he makes this statement. I speak not by commandment. And by the way, take notice of that. I speak not by commandment. Look down at verse 10. And Paul said, herein I give my advice. So in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul is not talking about something that we have to do. He's talking about something that we get to do. You know, sometimes we need to reprogram our minds the way we reprogram our computers. Now, I don't have any idea in the world how you do that to a computer, okay? But they do it, okay? Have you ever said or heard anybody else say, well, it's Sunday, I have to go to church. They're taking an offering. I have to put something in the offering. Now they're going soul winning. I have to go soul winning. God has called me to preach. I have to preach. God has called me to be a missionary. I have to be a missionary. Now, by the way, maybe we ought to reprogram our minds tonight. It's Sunday. I get to go to church. Don't you love church? I don't understand why he had to beg anybody to go to church. From the time I got saved, I hated when they had women's meetings, okay? Because I couldn't go. I mean, you know, if it's a church, I wanted to be there. But isn't it a great joy just to meet with God's people and sing the songs and hear the prayers and listen to some loud mouth up there hollering and so forth? I get to go to church. God's been good to me. He's given me a job. He's let me be in a country where I can get a job and I have some money God's put in my hand. I get to put money in the offering. I get to tithe. I get to give to missions. There's a little place on your offering envelope. And maybe a lot of you are already doing it, but a lot of you may be. Be a good idea to start. It says here your general fund, and then it says missions. And then it says special. That's where you put the name Don Sisk and give $1,000 tonight, okay? But so think, now Paul is saying, hey, now, I'm not telling you something that's a commandment. I'm not commanding you to do this. And I think what he's saying is, hey, God is doing some great things. And he's giving you the opportunity to get involved. Don't you wish you'd gotten involved when they first started Apple? Or some of the other things that just literally exploded financially? God is doing some great things all around the world. I told you about the church in Japan. And I could go on and on. I could write a big book about that one church. But a few years ago, 2018, I was in the town of Iloilo, Japan. And about 40 years ago, Rick and Becky Martin went to Iloilo. Now, they heard Brother Bob Hughes preach at First Baptist Church just before he died. And he told about the great need of the Philippines. And that night after Bob Hughes had preached, Ricky reached over and put his hand on Becky's hand and said, "We're going to the Philippines." Now, if I did not know this firsthand, if I had not been there and seen it, I probably wouldn't believe it. If I was sitting where you're sitting tonight and you hear what I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't believe it, okay? But I've seen it. 2018, when I was out there, they had a map and they had little pins with ribbons all over that map of the Philippines. And 40 years ago, they started a Bible study. The Bible study developed into a church. About a year after they started the church, they started a Bible college because several young people had committed their lives to be full-time Christian workers. Now, in the Philippines now, there are more than 1,200 independent Baptist churches as a result of what happened at Iloilo. Many of those graduates went out and started churches. Many of those churches started schools. And their goal for the next 3 years is 500 new churches. You know what happened? When you're giving to missionary, when you're giving to missions, when you're supporting missionaries, you are having a part in everything that happens with every missionary that is supported by your church. So look what Paul said. I speak not by commandment. Paul, if it's not a commandment, then why spend so much time on it? Two whole chapters, okay? Listen to what he said. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion and the forwardness of others. You know what he's saying? I want you to see what others are doing. What others are doing. By the way, think of what the missionaries that leave our country and go to another country. Think of these things that they are leaving and the things they'll have to do. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinth church, which is probably a very wealthy church. Industry everywhere, I mean, the big city. But he uses as an example the churches of Macedonia. He said, now, these churches were going through great problems, great persecution, great trials. But he said they had great joy. And by the way, you can't have persecution and trials and fun at the same time. But you can have persecution and trials and joy at the same time. Pastor, you know as well as I do, people going through some horrible thing, and you go there try to encourage them, and you leave there encouraged because of their faith in God. And he said, they were in deep poverty. Deep poverty. By the way, the kind of poverty that we know nothing about in our day. They were in deep poverty, but they gave liberally. How about your missionary giving? Is it liberal? So he said, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion and forwardness of others. Now listen for another reason. And to prove the sincerity of your love. By the way, could I brag on you a little bit? Thank God, even during the pandemic, whatever it is, your offerings have not gone down. You are giving. Missionaries are leaving here, and you're supporting missionaries around the world. And I've got some good news for you. Baptist International Missions Incorporated, we have some 850 missionaries that we send their money to them and so forth. March, April, May, June, July, August, September, every year this month, the offerings for the missionaries have been just as much as they were before the pandemic. Thank God, God is doing some great things. Amen. So let me brag on you folks at Beacon Baptist Church. I think Pastor told me, and I might exaggerate, but that's okay. I'm a preacher, okay? But something like 40% of your budget goes to world evangelization. That's a great testimony. Thank God for that. And then in addition to that, many of you are giving. There's a place on here for missions. A place for your general offering, for your church, your tithe, and then for mission. Wouldn't it be great if a lot more people just began to give something every week to missions? I mean, it would mean that your mission offering could go up exponentially, okay? So he said, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion and the forwardness of others. And then he said, and to prove the sincerity of your love. I think our mission giving proves the sincerity of our love for the Lord and what he loved. And by the way, he loves world evangelism. For God so loved the what? The world. And that means every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world. So he says in verse 8, I'm not speaking by commandment. Now look down at verse 10. And we'll come back to verse 9 in a minute, okay? And he says, for herein I give my advice. Now again, not something you have to do. And Paul is writing under the inspiration of God, so this is divine advice, amen? Now we know that. But Paul said, I'm giving you my advice. And believe me, dear friends, Paul's advice is good advice. Listen to it. And herein I give my advice. For this is, look at the word, expedient for you. Underline that word in your Bible. This is expedient for you. And that simply means it's good for you. It's good for you. I remember as a kid, my mother had a rule in our house. If you were too sick to go to school, you got a dose of castor oil. Anybody else remember castor oil? I never missed one day of school. I mean, that stuff was horrible. Now, it was good for you. It would keep you going, amen. But Paul said, no, don't look at giving to missions as something bad. This is good for you. This is good for you. You know, the average person today, they have the idea, the more we give, the less we'll have. Humanly speaking, that may be right, but not biblically speaking. Listen to just two verses. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Hey, by the way, that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, when you give to God, God's going to give you something bigger than what you gave to him. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Listen from a verse in Proverbs chapter 11. And just as Luke 6:38 is an agricultural illustration, Proverbs 11 is an agricultural illustration. It says this: there is that scattereth. Here's a farmer, okay? He's scattering seed. There is that scattereth. He just scatters seed here, scatters seed here, scatters seed here. And yet he increaseth. Hey, by the way, when a farmer is scattering seed, he didn't look at it and say, well, that's the end of that seed. I'll never see that again. No, no, no. It's going to produce a whole lot more. There is that scattereth. You hear about a need, you scatter. You see a need somewhere, you scatter. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. Now the next verse says, there is that withholdeth more than his meat, and it tendeth to poverty. You know, there's a lot of people, they're just going to hang on to everything they've got. And the proverb says, that leads to poverty. Poverty of soul, poverty of your family, poverty of missing the blessings of God. So Paul said, hey, I've got some good advice for you. It is expedient for you that you give to missions. What happens when we give to missions? Number one, the missionaries can get to the mission field. The missionaries get to the mission field, then people can hear the gospel. And if people hear the gospel, some of them will get saved. And some of them will grow and they'll minister to their country. In other words, all kinds of good things happen when we begin to give to missions. One of my favorite passages on giving is found in Philippians chapter 4. Won't you turn your Bibles there for a minute? Philippians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And he is thanking them for an offering they've sent him. And you get letters like that from all of your missionaries. They write you prayer letters thanking you for the offering. Notice what Paul said in verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Hey, missionaries, look at that. Paul wasn't very good at deputation, amen? He only had one church that gave to him. But notice what he says in verse 16. And your church gets this kind of letters all the time. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again. In other words, not just one time, but you sent once and again. Now, the wreck of the Beacon Baptist Church is when the missionaries are told that they're going to get the support, they can mark it down, they're going to get it. Amen. Once and again, regularly, consistently. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessities. Okay, Paul, what's it all about? Look at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Wow. What does that mean? Paul said, I'm glad you sent the money. I needed it. I'm glad you sent it. Not because I desire a gift. But I'm glad you sent it, because I want you to have fruit that will abound to your account. Now you think about this. Every missionary that is supported by Beacon Baptist Church, everything they do, every soul they win, every person they disciple, every person they train, all of that, it is all added to your account. If you tithe, 40% of that goes to mission. If you give special offering to missions, all of that goes to missions. And you're having a part in every missionary that is supported by Beacon Baptist Church. Thank God. Giving is not something we have to do. Giving is something we get to do. Amen. You think about the millions of souls that've been won by missionaries around the world. And by the way, in heaven, we're going to meet every one of them. You say, good night, Brother Sid. Well, it won't take a long time to meet all the people that's been saved as a result of our missionaries. Time. In heaven, there'll be no clocks. Thank God there won't even be a calendar. Amen. And we have eternity to rejoice in what God has done. The joy of giving to mission. Paul said, look what others are doing. Look what the missionaries are doing. Look what other churches are doing. Then Paul said, I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. And then he said, by the way, let me give you some advice. It's good for you. It's not going to take away from you. It's good for you. Giving to missions is good for you. Now let's close tonight with verse 9. Why should I give to missions? Why should I? I mean, after all, aren't there things that you could use all of that money that you're supporting missionaries with for something here in Jupiter or this Florida and so forth? Sure there is. Why should I give to missions? I love this verse. Look at it very carefully. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at that real carefully. And Paul did not say, you know about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, no, no. How many of you tonight could say, Brother says, I have been saved by the grace of God. Lift your hand real high. I've been saved by the grace of God. Keep them up a minute, okay? And naturally, if you're saved, you're saved by the grace of God. That's the only way you can get saved. You can put your hand in. For by grace are you saved through faith. So Paul is writing to Christians who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he's saying, you know experientially the grace of God. You have experienced the grace of God. How's that, Paul? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and oh, how rich he was. Amen. Hebrews tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God. God spoke the world into existence. You say, Brother Sis, you're from Kentucky and you went to school a long time ago. You didn't learn about the Big Bang Theory? But I believe the Big Bang Theory. God spoke. And bang, there it was. And by the way, that's exactly the way it happened. Read Genesis 1. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. And Colossians tells us that the entire universe, not just this little planet Earth, but the entire universe was created by God and for God. By Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. So it all belonged to him. But one day, he left heaven and all of its glory. And he came to this earth, born of a virgin. Lived the life of a servant. Read Philippians chapter 2. became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Nobody was ever so rich as Jesus Christ. But nobody ever became as poor as he did. You think about this. You think about all of the wicked sins that we hear about every day. And every wicked sin that man has ever committed was placed on Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Wow. Your sin, my sin. It was all placed on him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Folks, we are rich tonight. Amen. Now, since Jesus Christ did that for me, shouldn't I be willing to go wherever he wants me to go? Think about it, young people. Don't try to find an easy place to make a living somewhere. Talk to God and ask God what he wants you to do. Think about it, young couples. There are probably young couples in this church that ought to be thinking about some of the great unevangelized fields of the world. Since Jesus Christ died for you, now make it personal. It's awfully easy to say, Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Thank God he did, amen. But Christ died for Don Sisk. And you can call your name. Christ died for you. Now somebody's made this statement, I don't remember who. But he said, if God had known only one person would ever be saved, and that one person would be you or me, one person, he would have still left heaven, lived a perfect life, and died on Calvary so I could be saved. For you know the grace of our Lord. You have experienced the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Listen to him. All the sins of the world were placed upon him. Remember in Gethsemane? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he realized what was going to happen in a few hours. Not just the physical pain, but that he was going to be separated from God the Father, because he would become sin. And God the Father was holy and could not look on sin. And then you hear him crying out on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And for the first time in all eternity, God the Father and God the Son were separated. Now, because of what he did, you're saved and going to heaven. And the great missionary made this statement, since Jesus Christ died for my sin, nothing he could ask me to do would be a sacrifice. I've been saved for 71 years. I've been preaching the gospel for 66 years. I've been in full-time Christian ministry, mission ministry, since 1964, 56 years. I get to thinking about it every once in a while. In fact, during these last few days, we've had a lot of time to think, amen? And I get thinking about it every once in a while. And all I can think about was, if I had it all to do over again, I'd do it. Oh, I'd love to hear him say one day, well done, good and faithful.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.